The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, Jesus said to Nicodemus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come toward the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, you might remember we had this gospel passage in the build-up to Easter, and it's one of those that has at least a little bit of flexibility, both pre and post, in part because we're talking about the chief achievement, the pinnacle accomplishment of Jesus, his inauguration of the kingdom being raised on the cross, right? So the giving of the only begotten Son, right? Just as just as Moses raised up in the wilderness the snake on the pole, so now the Son of God, and of course we can look at that and say, well, this rotates around or revolves around Good Friday, and certainly our anticipation of the victory of God, the victory of self-giving love on Good Friday, that then is ratified in the resurrection of Jesus, and perhaps then giving us new strength to go back and reconsider also what that Good Friday offering of praise is that gives us new life. Okay, this is all perhaps a little bit too technical. Okay, so but it's important enough to at least give it voice. But yeah, here we look at God's purposes. I think this is very significant because it helps us also to rewrite our default image of God. Yeah, some of us have daddy issues, as it were. Yeah, I mean, perhaps all of us do, and it's got very little to do with our daddies. You know, it's just the brokenness of human nature, and the fact when you look at the fact that we are fallen human beings, we should expect that that we will have problems in all of our relationships. I'm not just saying that to lower the expectations on the relationships that I have with you. It's like, okay, you should expect that, okay? But we're gonna try to overcome that. We've got the power of the resurrection in order to overcome that a little bit. But we do have that brokenness that's running right down the center of our beings. And so, yeah, our sense of fatherhood, and especially the fatherhood of God. You know, we look at the reality of that Good Friday sacrifice, and we go, did God send someone else to stand in his place? Right? Did God send, the Son, right? God had to work out his anger issues on his Son. Do you know, like, was, but the way that we, and it's good to laugh at it because it's absurd, okay? But the stories that we tell around it almost give credence to the lie, do you know, to say, oh, and people on the outside hear it and go, I don't know that I want that kind of father for, you know, I mean, this doesn't make much sense to me, the father who would kill his son. No, this is not what's happening. What's happening is that the force of sin is doing its worst on Jesus, who is God, who has come to do something about our plight, to liberate us from what has otherwise enslaved us. So it's actually God coming to do the work. Yeah, and we certainly need a more Trinitarian vision. I'm not ready to impart that this morning, but we need a more robust understanding of the Trinity in order to make our way through that. Right, God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we see, yeah, okay, this is God acting. And even if you want to say, okay, actually have a bit of a better way into that as well. Do we not think that the sacrifice of the Father is significant? So it's not as though he sends the Son to do what he didn't want to do, right? The Father sacrificing the Son. I mean, I hear it from any number of people. I can't stand to think that my children would suffer even a little bit. Oh, do we think that's just us? We don't think that God the Father, tremendous suffering on His part, if philosophically we can believe in the passibility of God, but again, a technical issue. But this is not a sacrifice that the Son takes on alone. This is part of the unveiling of the heart of the Father and Son, both for each other, right? Willing to go to the end, you know, for the purposes of God, but also for the beloved world, right? And for His, and especially for His image-bearing creatures. Yeah, to go all the way to the end, and the heart for the Father and the Son is not only like broken apart. It's not only say opened up so that we could enter. It's also poured out. It's poured out in the Spirit so that we can have life. And this is what, you know, the continuation of the discussion with Nicodemus. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life here and now. Right, might be recipients of God's own Holy Spirit, God's own life of love. We get to receive now, we get to participate, and we get to draw from that rich wellspring of life, and then in fact live out of it as though it's a fuel for us. Right, this is what burns inside of us. This is what drives us on to new heights, as it were. Even if those heights are just doing very, very small things with great love. Yeah, these are the heights of human nature, that what we do, whatever it is we do in our every human activity and endeavor is inspired and motivated by love, and so is bringing order into God's creation, order, restoration, healing, hope, strength, and the rest into God's creation. And then this is how we see it play out, right? Whoever believes in Him will not be condemned. Whoever does not believe has already been condemned. If we do not believe in Jesus, right? If we're not adhering to Him, if we're not clinging to Him, then how do we have life in us? How are we going to? And this is important for us, more for us. Okay, so I get it. Start to think about all the people who are not Christians. Don't do that. I want you to think now of the fact that eternal life is within your reach. The very life of God is being offered to you. I want you to think about it for you, not for people who are not Christian, okay? Let me say it again, okay? Because you were all distracted by the point, okay? God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Whoever believes in Him will not be condemned. Whoever does not believe has already been condemned, okay? Because they don't have access to the life of God, don't have access to eternal life, because we're not adhering to Jesus, we're not clinging to Jesus. We are not adhering to Jesus or clinging to Jesus. If we are adhering to Him, then we have life in us. And if we don't, we don't. We have life in us in the measure that we're clinging to Him and that we're living for Him and His purposes, that we're trusting Him and following Him in all things. And inasmuch as we're not trusting Him, we don't have life in us. Inasmuch as we're not following Him, we don't have life in us. And we're condemned because we decided, I'm just going to hang out on this ship. Right? It doesn't matter that it's sinking. I'm gonna hang out there. I feel more comfortable there. Right? And here's God with His lifeboat, and we're just saying, well, you know, I'm not sure. Maybe I'll need it a little bit. You know, like I'll need it when I'm at the bottom of the ocean, you know, when I'm drowning, then I think I want the lifeboat. No, we have the opportunity to have life now. And it's significant for us, of course, because we've been called, we've been summoned by Christ Jesus, by King Jesus to be here. We've been called into His service, and we're giving our active yes to Him. Yes, that we want to receive what is on offer. That, you know, we want to receive the outpouring of His Spirit, want to receive His own life of love. But yes, also that we want to live in His service, and we want to be His emissaries to the world that so desperately needs the love of God and the revelation of God as He is. That certainly is, say, the light bringer that brings, again, light and healing and hope and restoration to all of creation. So this is us, right? Let's here and now step into the light. And we want to come into the light. We do not want to prefer darkness to light. We do not want our works to be evil. We want our works to be good and God-given. And the beautiful thing is, of course, that by the death and resurrection of Jesus, this is all possible for us. Right, whoever lives the truth comes to the light. What is the truth? What is the truth? I mean, I'm not doing the pilot thing. You know, what is truth? What is truth even? You know, what is the truth? You have to start with the big truths, right? God, who he is, an eternal exchange of glorifying love. God, his relationship to creation. He made creation to be good. God's relationship to man. He made us be his image bearers. So his goodness wasn't just like a one and done deal, but he has good and wise stewards of his creation that is put into the creation in order to bring good order and to continue the work of good order and continual creation to bear to full flourishing. So these are the big things, right? The love of God that would go to the absolute lengths, to the depths, and the rest for us. Right? He wouldn't stop at anything for us. That's the God. That is truth. That is truth. And you're right, Ron. Truth, capital T, is Jesus. Right, so we're going to adhere to truth. We're going to cling to him because he is making our way here and now, even where we don't see it. Okay, even where we say, I really don't know. How can I bring hope? I don't really have much hope for myself. You know, well, if I can see Jesus, I have hope. Yeah, if I can just take the next step with Jesus, then I have hope. I have hope that he's driving the plan onward. And that he, even if I don't right here and now experience hope and joy and peace and the restorative promise of God, I know that he's making a way, and I know that he's calling me to be part of that process. He's called me part of that plan by which he redeems the entire world. Okay, but again, here and now, it's ours to entrust ourselves to him. So we give ourselves to Jesus, especially as he is representing this Good Friday sacrifice, this sacrifice of perfect praise. We give ourselves to Jesus so as to make our entire life, whole and entire, everything we have and everything we are, to make of our entire life an offering of praise to Almighty God, so that we can live all our days in his service, and not only then live as recipients of eternal life, but bring his eternal life into effect exactly where we are.